This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There are things out there, totally innovative things, like the iPhone or the Prius maybe, that seem to catch on really, really quickly. There are, however, many others, many, many others, that don't catch on, even though they're useful or even essential, and they can take decades to become the norm. In the medical profession, that can mean the difference between life and death. Atul Gawande is a surgeon and a staff writer at The New Yorker magazine, where his latest piece is titled Slow Ideas. It's all about why some ideas go viral and some don't. Dr. Gawande, good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
This is, it seems to me, the $64 bajillion question, right? How you get those innovations that aren't catching on and you really spread them and make them go viral.
Yeah. And it's fascinating to think about why some move fast and some don't. I contrasted the discovery of anesthesia, which was a fast idea. It spread worldwide within weeks of its discovery in the 19th century. But around the same time, antiseptics were a slow idea. It took more than a generation for surgeons to accept the idea of washing hands. And what you had to do was literally a pain. Antiseptic solution for washing hands was carbolic acid.
Which is no fun.
No fun at all.
You're a guy who's made a study of this. I mean, you've written a book about how to change people's procedures, the Checklist Manifesto, your most recent book. I mean, this is a professional and personal interest of yours. And yet I thought it was interesting that buried way deep in this article is I think, the key line of this whole thing. People talking to people is still how the world's standards change.
Yeah. You know, we are, especially in this era of the iPhone and Twitter, enamored of technological solutions that spread as effortlessly as ether did. We want these frictionless solutions to all the major difficulties of the world, whether it's hunger, healthcare, poverty. But the reality is that when you're changing norms, technology and incentive programs are just not enough.
Take it down another level. You spent some time with labor nurses, child labor nurses in India, and watching them do their thing.
We have had this global problem. This is an example. Childbirth kills upwards of 6 million babies per year and 300,000 pregnant mothers. The steps to save all of those lives, especially in poor countries, have been known for almost a century. And a lot of it doesn't even require technology. I talk about the idea, for instance, that just skin-to-skin warming of the mom to the baby saves babies' lives, cuts mortality rates of premature babies by a third. And we think, well, how do you get people to do that? And we think, well, ad campaigns and incentives. It hasn't worked. But when you go face-to-face, understand what they're doing, why they don't do it, they change.
Not to bring in another discipline here, but how much of this is just straight-ahead behavioral economics? You know, incentives matter. People act in their own self-interest, all those things.
Well, the fascinating thing is behavioral economics is also showing us some of the limitations of the economic side of it.
Yeah.
So incentives are valuable. They help get people to try sometimes an idea, but they don't necessarily change the norms. To actually produce the change, people have observed over and over again that you have to see someone you know and trust actually do it themselves. And so when we look around at how we change healthcare, for example, the key for innovators is going to be providing clinicians with simple ways to change what they do next week and show them how and create the trust to take that risk of making a change.
Atul Gawande is a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. He's a surgeon at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston and a professor at the Harvard University School of Public Health. Dr. Gawande, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me on, Kai.